I'm sure many of you have come across this story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And God always uses the scriptures to speak to us. Hallelujah. And this afternoon, I declare to you that the Spirit of God will speak to you. Amen. The Lord will speak to you and comfort your hearts. Amen. He has made you kings and priests unto him. Amen. The Lord will give back to you everything that the enemy has stolen. Amen. The Lord will give you your rightful place. The Lord will place you at a position of honor that you deserve. The honor that God created you with. The dignity that God intended for you to have. The place of excellence that God decided that you would have. I am here to declare to you that you will have it in the mighty name of Jesus. We serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a faithful God. We serve a good God. We serve a loving God. Your portion is great. Hallelujah. Your portion is great. Hallelujah. Your portion is great. Hallelujah. God has got good plans for you. Not plans of evil. He's got good plans for you. To bring you to a place of expectation. To bring you to a place of fulfillment. To bring you to a place of dignity and honor. Shame is not your portion. I said dishonor is not your portion. Shame is not your portion. For your shame, God will give you double honor. For your weakness, God will give you strength. For your failure, God will give you excellence. For your dishonor, God will honor you. Santa Karamasikete. We give glory to God. We give glory to God. God is a good God and God is a just God. Ah, masunta parakisto brekeste, shima kura masai katula zantai karabashia, reketele sunta karia karwa. Hallelujah. Amen. Be comforted this afternoon. Amen. I said, be comforted this afternoon. Amen. God has heard your prayers, Amen. And God will honor you, Amen. And God will promote you. Amen. God will bring you to a place of excellence. Amen. God will bring you to a place of dignity. That which you truly deserve. Hallelujah. Santa Karamasikiti. I'm sure many of you, as I said earlier, are familiar with this story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. It's one of the most powerful stories in the Bible. And there we see a person who is a prince, whose dignity and honor seem to have been stolen by another. And instead of them sitting in their place of blessing, you know, they were living at a place where they were almost non-existent. And others were sitting in their blessing. Others were sitting in their honor. Others were sitting in their dignity. They had no way to express themselves. Their kingship, their dignity, their place of excellence seemed to be overshadowed by circumstances. And when we look at ourselves, many of us, many times we are like that. But I'm here to tell you, we've been grafted in. We have been grafted into Christ Jesus. Amen. I think you know what grafting is. You see, when a plant is unable to survive on its own, they take a plant that is more secure and strong. And what they do is that they cut a wedge or a section on the plant that is strong, and then they take the weak plant and then they insert the weak plant into what? The strong plant. So that the weak plant will be able to receive nourishment from the strong plant and grow. You see, God always uses Israel to speak to us. He said Israel is the main tree, is the main olive. And you see, we are like the wild trees. We did not qualify to be able to express ourselves because we had no covenant with God. And God in his mercy took us, plucked us from the place of a desert and put us into the main tree, that is the olive tree, Israel, so that we can partake of the heritage of Israel. And you and I have been grafted into Christ Jesus. So every blessing that is in Christ Jesus, we are supposed to have it. You know, when you read the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, when Jesus Christ took the seals from God and broke the seals,
The Bible says the 24 elders, and let me say the host of heaven, were rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing? They were rejoicing because they had found somebody who was worthy to redeem the creation of God back unto their place of dignity. Up until then, we were destitute. Up until then, we were vagabonds. Up until then, we had no place of honor or dignity. But you know what? Jesus, in his goodness, stepped in. And they began to sing a new song. He said, worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy because what? He was slain. And with his precious blood, do you know what he's done? He has been able to secure us our place of excellence in God. He has made us priests and kings unto himself and to God. This is who we are. And he says in verse 10, and we shall reign on earth. God's children are supposed to reign. And that's why when God looked at the situation in Israel, he said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. And I'm here to declare and to decree that Pharaoh, let God's people go in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that you walk in your dignity. You walk in your honor. You walk in your excellence. Nobody will steal the honor that God has given you. God gave you that honor. God gave you that dignity. Nobody has the right to take it. It's your portion. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles therefore to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We know the story, and I'll summarize it for you, and then we'll take it verse by verse. It's only 13 verses. And the title of the message therefore is God will take you from Lodebar to Jerusalem. I'm here to declare to you, God will take you from Lodebar to Jerusalem. And as we go along, you understand what Lodebar is. Hallelujah. Fret not, your king is here. Don't despair. Hallelujah. You see, it only takes one day for God to silence the adversary. It only takes one day for your situation to turn around. It only takes a moment. And I'm here to tell you, your dishonor is on its way. Hallelujah. The shame is out. It's out. Yes, instead of shame, God will give you double for your trouble. He will give you double for your trouble. That is what you deserve. To him be the glory, to him be the honor, to him be the thanks, to him be the praise. Twice this message kept coming to me this week. And you know, I was going to continue with our teachings on the end times the end times, the coming of the Lord. But twice this message came to me, and I know that God wants me to speak this message to bring encouragement to the hearts of his people. You will not beg for your bread. Hallelujah. You will not beg. I said you will not beg. No, you will not beg. God will help you. God will help you. It doesn't matter how low you are. I said God will help you. God will help you. He loves you. He cares for you. He understands you more than anybody else. He knows your situation. But listen, the story is that he has made us priests and kings unto our God. And I declare that you will reign. Fear not. God will help you. Turn to your neighbor and say, fear not. God will help you. Help is on the way. Fear not. God will help you. Say, I am precious in the sight of God. I am precious to God. Receive comfort this afternoon. Receive comfort. Receive comfort. Receive comfort. Receive comfort. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you for the power of your word. We thank you that you took us from Egypt to bring us to the promised land. Father, you are faithful. You did not call us to leave us in the wilderness. No, you called us to show us your favor, to show us your goodness, to show us your kindness, to show us your blessing. And we thank you because you are good. And your mercies, they endure forever. Your children will grow from strength to strength. And they'll grow from glory to glory. They'll grow from power to power. They'll grow from honor to honor. They'll grow from dignity to dignity. Instead of your shame, God will give you double, 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 double for your trouble. Double for your trouble. Just calm down. It takes one day for God to turn your situation. It takes just one day, one day, one day. We all know the story. You know, when Saul was king of Israel, God had anointed another king. So after 40 years, it was time for Saul and his whole family almost like to be cut off. And the Bible says that during the reign of Saul, when Saul was going through a lot of torment, They found an anointed musician who would come to his home and minister to him, because when the Spirit of God left him, the Bible says that an evil spirit troubled Saul. And so they needed somebody with the anointing. Say, the anointing lifts the burden and it destroys the yoke. And I am anointed of God. I am anointed to live a life of victory. Hallelujah. So you know what? When David came into the house, Jonathan, the son of Saul, noticed something remarkable about David. He said, this young man is unique. He could see the signature of God over the person's life. You know, when you see somebody who is anointed, you know, they have not been crowned yet, but you know there's something about them. You've got to learn to submit to that anointing. Do you understand? So he even though he was the prince, he was the heir apparent, when he saw that David had an unction, had an upper hand, the Bible says he came into covenant with David. And the Bible says their soul was knit together. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 3. He said he made a covenant with him, and their souls became, they became so close. He said, David, you see this guy, the name Jonathan, and the person Jonathan, and the personality Jonathan, it's immense. It means so much. It's like somebody who has something. It belongs to me, you know. But I see that God is with you, and that God is doing something with you. And I'm able to say that, listen, in spite of my position, I still submit to you, because I see God's hand over your life. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Made a covenant with David. Exchanged clothes. Gave him bows and arrows. It got to a point, Jonathan said, listen, I see that God is with you. One day I know that God is going to make you king over Israel. And I don't mind serving under you, David. Even though I'm the one supposed to reign when my father dies. But I see that the hand of the Lord is upon you. And so you know what, David, when you become king, don't forget me. When you become king, I'm ready to stand beside you. He went to the point of saying that when God has put down all of your enemies, David, you know what? Don't forget me. In fact, I want to make an everlasting covenant with you. So much so that even when I am dead, remember my descendants. Oh, Jehovah. 2 Samuel 20, as you read 14 and 15, he said, even in my death, not only in my life am I making a covenant with you, but when I die, remember my family members. A man of great understanding, a man of insight. When you see somebody anointed, in spite of who you think you are, learn to acknowledge the anointing of God upon their lives, because it is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's only an opportunity for you to align with them. The hand of the Lord was with David. And Jonathan said, don't forget me, even when I die, remember my family members. So we get to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we realize that prior to this chapter, they went to war. Just sum it all up for you. And Saul and his son Jonathan were killed in battle. Which means that the dynasty of Saul had come to an end. Now, what the person God wanted to reign, that was David, it was his time to reign. And when David became king, you see, the practice in the Middle East, not only in the Middle East, in most of the areas in the world is this. When you become king, do you know what you do? You kill every seed that belongs to the previous ruler. You know why? Because if you don't kill them, a coup d'etat will happen. Do you understand? Oh, have you forgotten the story of Josiah? When the sons of the king were killed, the Bible says Athaliah killed all the sons of what of the king that was supposed to reign, who had died then, killed all the sons. When she realized that her son was killed, he said, nobody will have the throne. Killed all of them. But the auntie of this young boy, Josiah, took Josiah and hid him in the temple. And at the right age, Josiah came and they enthroned Josiah as king. So anybody who comes on, the practice is this. If you want to reign and reign without trouble, find all the male seed especially and kill them. Because so long as they are in existence, they are a threat to you. So you know what? When Saul and Jonathan died, Jonathan had a son at the time. He had a son called Mephibosheth. Everybody say Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Say Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. And And Mephibosheth was being carried by a nurse to escape the new king who is coming. Because as I've said to you, if they don't hide him, he's going to be killed. And you know what they did? The nurse in haste dropped Mephibosheth. I don't know who is carrying you and has dropped you, but may the Lord give you help. Hallelujah. Oh, Katara Masai Katulahanda. Oh, Masai Anda Bresikiti. Mephibosheth became lame. The nurse was supposed to carry you and bring you to a place of safety. Sometimes that mother who is supposed to carry you is not able to carry you. That wife is not able to carry you. That husband is not able to carry you. Oh, Jehovah God. Dropped Mephibosheth and was lame on his feet. And the Bible says one day David remembered when he became king. Remembered the covenant that he made with Jonathan. He came looking to see if he would find any of Jonathan's seed so that the covenant that they made, he will be able to fulfill it. And so that is where we get to chapter 9. And so David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? For Jonathan's sake. Because of the covenant that he cut with Jonathan, David was not a wicked king. He came, he remembered those years in the desert when he was nothing. And then this young man gave him his armor. This young man treated him like a prince. This young man was able to tell him even when his father Saul intended to kill him. So he came and said, is there yet any left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him? I'm here to announce to you that God is looking for you. Amen. And the purpose God is looking for you is to show you extraordinary kindness. Do you understand? God is looking out for you to show you some kindness. You might think you don't deserve it, but I'm here to announce to you, if David can remember a fellow man, a human being as David can remember a covenant, then we who have ever an everlasting covenant with Christ, I want you to understand God has not forgotten about you. And God is on the way. Hallelujah. He has a package of kindness for you. I said God has a package of kindness for you. God has a package of kindness. And is looking for you. He will do it and your enemies will not know what to do with themselves. They will say that you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But God is about to do extraordinary things in your life. Oh my God. When you read the scriptures, you see, as humans, we are full of rules and laws. How we need to qualify to get things from God. But you know, many times God breaks the protocol, bypasses all protocol, and gives you that which you don't deserve. I am here to announce to you, God is going to give you something you don't deserve. Something that you have not worked for, He's going to give it to you. Never mind what the enemies will say. But I'm here to announce to you, God says He's going to show somebody extraordinary kindness. Amen. He's going to show somebody extraordinary. As I sat there and I was meditating, I said, God, I don't know what is on the heart of your people today, but Lord, show somebody extraordinary kindness. Somebody who's walked into the chair today and is looking for some answers. Father, show the person extraordinary kindness. Give them something they don't deserve. It's not just a preaching. It's real. And I have asked God that God do it for your people. Give them extraordinary kindness. The goodness of God leads the sinner to repentance. You will sit here and say, hey, how did God do it? No, it shouldn't have been me. It should have been somebody else. But I'm here to tell you, God is going to do it for you. And when He does it for you, something will happen to your spirit. You run out and tell others how good the Lord is. You know the woman who had married about 5-6 times and met Jesus. And Jesus began to tell her everything that she has done. You know, she didn't believe that she could actually have audience with God. The Bible says she ran to the village and began to announce to them she was the first woman evangelist. And God is going to do the same thing for you. Our evangelism, hallelujah, is going to be so easy. People are going to look at you and look at you again. Is it the same person? Is it the same woman? Is it the same man? We thought this person has been condemned to death. Jonathan, the son, Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, was the one who was left of the household of Saul. And David rode in, came to the house of Saul, and asked, is there anybody who is left? I believe there was trepidation, because they thought, well, if the king is here, then he's going to destroy whoever is left. And David said, is there any that I will show kindness for Jonathan's sake? For some of us, the breakthroughs we're experiencing is because of something somebody did years ago. You know, I was told that one of my uncles was a preacher in a village where my parents came from. He was a mighty preacher who would get up and be preaching in those days where nobody, people didn't have time for God, but idol worship. The blessing some of us are enjoying is as a result of a seed somebody has sown. Sometimes you are sowing seeds for people and you are angry. And even after you sown the seed, you are holding it back with your wrong words. I shouldn't have done this for this person. Let me tell you, your seed is only gone into your future. Do you understand? One day it's going to speak for you when you can't speak for yourself. That seed you sown, stop crying about that seed. I gave them this thing. I gave that thing. I gave that thing. Thank God they received it. Oh, hallelujah. I said, thank God they received it. They received it for you. A day is going to come when it's going to be a seed for you. Thank God they received it. One day a man, somebody gave me a gift. He said, thank you for receiving it. I said, my goodness. He said, thank you for receiving it. He had more understanding. Hallelujah. And this thing I've given you, I know it's going to come back to me. Because you don't sow a seed into a man or woman of God's life and think that that thing is just thrown away. No, it's going to come back to you. Good measure, press down, shake it together, and running over will go of course. So stop crying over the seeds you've sown. Stop destroying your harvest. Otherwise, it will be given back to you. Stop crying over your seeds you've sown. Is there somebody left of the house of Saul that I can show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Learn to be a Jonathan now. Learn to be a Jonathan now. Learn to be a Jonathan. Learn to be a seed sower. Learn to be a blesser. Because it goes into your future to bless you. And I'm here to declare to you, no matter what you're going through, Abigail, God is going to show you extraordinary kindness. He's going to give you something you don't qualify for. And others are going to look at you and say, how did this girl get it? Because God is good. He said, Jacob, I've loved, and Esau, I've hated. Is God unrighteous? Is unrighteousness in God? No, his ways are not our ways. So he said, how dare you, the potter, tell you the clay, tell the potter how to form me? No, he's got every power in his hands. He does what he likes. He promotes one and brings another down. That is according to the wisdom of God. Oh, my son, take it here. I've always said this. I don't know how and why God does it, but all the last borns in the Bible, when you look at them, those who are prominent, God does something for the last borns that are amazing. The firstborn might have the double portion, but there's something extraordinary that God does with the last borns. That is the wisdom of God. You can't question it. Just receive the goodness of God and go away. I'm here to declare to you that God is going to step into your perpetual desolations. Amen. For years, it's looked desolate. Hey, God. God is going to step. He is stepping, Jehovah, to your perpetual desolations. They've sung your songs for many years. Oh, is any good thing going to come out of you? He said, look at Zion, whom no man deserves. Oh, no man cares for. He said, listen, I'll bring health to you. I'll bring healing to you. I'll restore you. He said, where you are broken, I will build you up. Where you were broken, God will build you up. Amen. Where the enemy looked at you, I'm going to break you here. God said, the very place that they broke you, Jeremiah 13, as you read 17, I will restore health and healing to you. Amen. Yes, that's what God is doing for some of you here sitting here.